thinking about a lot of things. This thing in particular was on my mind as of a couple days ago, and it's this thought. There is an incredible, I think about it at funerals and in times of grief. Sometimes just being present is comfort. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to have any answers. Just being present is helpful and comforting. And that got me to thinking. One of the things that Jesus Christ is named is Emmanuel, God with us. His presence, he is present with his people. And it's different. I mean, with other gods, they're not present. I think of when Elijah's on that mountain, Mount Carmel, and the Baalites are crying out and cutting themselves and, drawing blood from their veins and trying to get some answer from their God. And they're not getting any answer. Of course they're not getting any answer because their gods don't hear them. They're inanimate objects. They're pieces of wood and stone, and they don't have ears, and they don't have eyes, and they don't have faculties to understand. They're just inanimate objects, and the people are crying out, and Elijah's kind of mocking, and maybe your God's on a vacation, maybe your God's eating a dinner or something. it's incredible. But the difference between the one true God and all the other gods is he is a God who is present with his people. He is among his people. And there's a comforting presence, and we can learn from that. We can learn how to be a help. We can learn how to be a comfort. But this thought got me to thinking all the way through the Bible, how many times God is described as being present, being with his people. And I'll tell you, go to Matthew chapter 1. Kind of started, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And the idea is just the comforting, it's a comforting presence. And most of you here probably have had some experience with going through a difficult situation or a difficult decision and knowing that God is in the decision or in the situation makes all the difference. What I mean by that is you go into a fiery trial and you don't know where God is, that makes it really difficult. You go through that trial and you know God is in it, that changes things. I will go through something willingly if it's painful to go through, if I know God's in that thing. But God's absence, that's a different story. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, the fact is just the presence of someone can be very comforting. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with us. Let's pray, and I want to talk to you about a comforting presence. Father, I thank you so much for each soul that's here this evening. I thank you so much for the guys that preached and taught over the last week or so. And I thank you for their willingness and the opportunity to be able to travel. And I do pray that you'd help my mom get out of this rehab, get her hip back working again, for Mike's mom with her knee surgery yesterday, I pray that you'd heal her body up, and thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the free offer of eternal life and the payment for my sins and anyone else who is willing to come to Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So one of Christ's names is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, did I not turn this on? All right, there we go. Yeah. Got a little too excited there. That's pretty loud, isn't it? There we go. All right, there we go. Well, let me start over. no, I'm just kidding. No. Sometimes your presence is comforting. It's just a matter of being somewhere with somebody, and God is a God who is present with his people. And I got to thinking of all the times that it's talked about in the Bible about God being present and what it meant to his people. And I'm going to go over a few of them with you, but kind of off of the coattails of I think what Craig was preaching on Sunday. You know, it's one thing to get into a disaster and start begging God for help, as opposed to just a daily walk, just a walk before you enter into decisions, before you enter into anything. I mean, the Bible talks about thanking God for your meals. That's the most basic thing you do every day is eat and drink. And just inviting God to be there, because he says he will be there. He is available. So his name is Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1. That is God with us. And I don't want to make you turn to all of these places. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts on these things. Maybe we will turn to a few of them. But I remember back over there in Exodus, there's a place where God's presence is so necessary. Moses is getting ready to go into the promised land, or not the promised land. He's getting ready to, I guess it is. It's in Exodus chapter 33. They're getting ready to do something over there in Exodus 33. And God says, you go ahead and go, and I'm not going to go with you. And what Moses says, I got to read it because I can't do it justice if I don't read it to you. But in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15, this is what Moses says about God's presence. He says this, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? That's pretty interesting. But Moses says, if don't send us somewhere, go with us where we're going. In fact, I don't even want to go to a place if you're not going to be there. Even if you said for us to go and it's a promised place, I don't want to be there if you're not going to be there. And he says this, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The point was, we would just be like any other nation if you just send us to a land and we go there without God and we just end up there in this land and God's not with us. We'll just be like anybody else. And Moses says, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't send us to this place. If you don't go with us, that is the distinction between us and every other nation, is that God is with us. That's the distinction. And that's if you're saved, that is the distinction between you and every other idolater, every idolater on the face of the earth. You have a God who is with you.
And that's what Moses says. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, carry us not up hence. Don't take us there. That brings me to the other thought. Going forward in the Old Testament, I mentioned it a while ago. And there are several of these. But when Elijah, when he goes up to Mount Carmel, and he is in that showdown with all the Baalite priests. They're cutting themselves trying to get their God's attention. You know, the difference between their gods and the true God is their gods are absent. There are no gods. And so they're trying to get the attention of rocks and wood and stones. And you know, our gods could be dollar bills and guns and boats. And we're trying to get the attention of these gods, they don't hear us. They don't see us. They can't answer us. And the difference between the true God and God's people is God is with his people. And it doesn't mean that everything is great. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's not going to be trouble. It just means God is with you, and he's with you in the fire. He's with you in the trouble. He's with you in the turmoil. He's with you in the tough decisions. And the idea is, Sometimes, just like when people are grieving, again, just like when people are grieving, sometimes it's just a matter of being present. I just need to know you're there. I just need you here with me, and that makes it better. If I know God's in it, then that makes it okay. If I don't know God's in it, that doesn't make it okay that I don't know where God is. Where is he working? What's he doing? But if God's in it, that makes it okay. I think of
my brother and his wife. She's been in a special ed teacher for a long time. And they're in the process of fostering. Well, they are fostering. They're fostering two kids out of her class. The kids lost dad, and they've just come from a sort of a, I don't know, the home's not good or whatever. And so they took them on. They're fostering them. And I'll never forget something my brother said. I heard it while I was up there. In Dallas or Fort Worth, and it's about being present for the kids. He said this, the young boy is named Harley, and the other day he was stealing money from their biological children. He was stealing money from one of the boys, And my brother set Harley down, and he explained to him, I'll never forget this. He said, you don't have to do that anymore. I'm going to take care of you. It was so, it's so much like God. You don't have to do that anymore. I'm going to take care of you. That's what God would say. Hey, you don't have to do that anymore. You're mine. I'm going to take care of you. His presence, the presence of God, it's like a presence of a parent. A loving parent. You don't have to act this way anymore. I'm gonna care for you. I'm gonna provide for you. Our food is your food. My money is your money. That's just like the Lord. His presence, comforting presence, a providing presence. It says over there in John, in the New Testament, the Bible says
He was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. A God who is present. Remember over there in Daniel. Remember those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they go into the fire. You know, they're told, if you don't worship this idol, we're going to throw you in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can throw us in the fire, but we're not going to worship the idol. We're not going to be idolaters. We have a God, and that God is very much alive. And this piece of gold or silver that you set up is not a God, and doesn't require, doesn't need my worship. It doesn't get my worship. And so they told Nebuchadnezzar, "No, we're gonna honor God. We can't honor these inanimate things." And Nebuchadnezzar got mad, and he threw him in the fire. And he finds out in the fire there's a fourth man in the fire. And it's so apropos to what we're talking about. You can go through the trial when you know God's in it. And they go in the fire, and and the Bible says they're bound, and they've got the ropes on their hands or whatever they're tied up with, and they're bound, and they go in the fire, and the Bible says they're just wandering around in the fire. They're just walking around in it. And there's Jesus Christ. He's walking around in the fire with them. And I imagine you go in the fire, and the ropes probably burned off, and their hands are free, and they're just sort of there. And Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm sure all the men, are just like, what are we witnessing here? Well, you're witnessing a God who is present with his people. That's what you're witnessing. You're watching a God who is actively involved in his people's lives. He's a God who is present. He's present on your calendar. I mean, you know, every time, I know you've heard it, I know you understand it. Every time a date gets printed, it's just a reminder that this is how many years it's been since God was manifest in the flesh. This is how long it's been. You know what, I listen to all kinds of stuff and sermons. I listen to other stuff. I listen to all kinds of other stuff too. Just I'm curious sometimes what atheists think about God, what all the people think about God, and all this. And so one of the things people can't figure out is some of these things like time. You got a calendar. We talked about the calendar, the years. Your year 2021 is 2021 years since God was manifest in the flesh. Since he was born. A work week. You know where a work week came from? You know why you have 7 days and then you start over? That's an artifact of creation. There's no man that came up with that idea. There's no human being that said, you know what, we're gonna do 7 days and we're gonna start over. That's something that's been going on since creation. Those are things that God is. He's present in time. He's present in spirit. He is present with his people. And he's present. I mean, even if you're not his people, I mean, you're going to be involved in what God's involved in sometimes. You know, think of Matthew chapter 28. The thing that everybody loves to preach on. The missionaries love to preach on. Go ye and preach the gospel, you know, baptizing all nations, all that kind of stuff. And he says this, lo, I am what? With you, even unto the ends of the earth, or ends of the world. I am with you. It says it so many times. I got to say, I mean, when I started going down this path, it was incredible how many times it talks about God being with his people. Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's not that there's not going to be trouble, but it's a lot easier to go through the trouble when God's in it. It's a lot easier to go through the trouble when there's an end in sight. Even if you know, okay, the end is the end of my life, this body anyway, but I know when the end of this body happens, I'm going to be with the Lord. It gives you a whole new perspective on life. It's a whole different perspective. It's hope. It's joy. You're able to have compassion. You're able to have peace. Paul says over there in I love this. Go to Romans 8. I love these verses in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul has already said in verse 30, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 28 is the one I'm looking for. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. And then he gives a list of terrible things. And he says this in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who's he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And he's asking these questions that you and I would ask when we were asking, where is God in this? I'm being accused of something I didn't do. Where is God? I'm being troubled by something that I can't get over. I can't get around it. I can't get through it. It's painful. Where is God? And so he makes this list of questions. Who's he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what Christians are to the world. Just sheep for the slaughter. That's just like barbecue. It's just, I mean, we could preach something on that, but that's what the world's perspective of Christianity is. What good is it? It's just sheep for the slaughter. Nay, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, here it is, I am persuaded. This is a man who went to prison. This is a man who is persecuted. He is beaten. He is in distress. He's hungry. He's naked at times. He has no clothes. He has no place to sleep. And he says this about God. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's about covers it. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The presence of God, the presence of the love of God. And Paul gives this list of everything you could possibly imagine after asking questions that you and I would ask in the absence, thinking, where is God in this? And he asks these questions, and he answers the questions. And then he goes on and says, look, I am convinced. There is nothing. There's nothing in this world, out of this world, beyond this world, seen, unseen, past, present, future, anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You know, that is the difference between God and every other idol on this earth. He's a God who is present with his people. He loves his people. His presence is helpful. It's comforting. Paul says it this way. He says it in Colossians. He says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does he say in John 14, 15, 16? He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send a comforter. That is my presence with you in spirit. And you know what's interesting about it is kind of how we started this thing off. His name is going to be Comforter, because it's my presence with you. Comfort. That's how we started this thing off. Sometimes it's not about what you say. It's not about the answers that you have. It's not about how you can figure out how to address the situation. Sometimes in trials and grief, in troublous times, just being present is what somebody needs. They just need you there. And that's God. He knows that. And he says, look, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with my people forever. That's the God, hopefully that's the God you serve. It's the God you serve. And with that, there's so many more. I don't understand, it's a Wednesday night, and I don't want to, there's so many more examples of this in the Bible. But I wanted to draw from that. This is the example of God. This is the example of God Almighty. This is his example. This is not only his example, but this is how he treats his people. And I've heard it said, and I've even said it. You're trying to comfort somebody. You're trying to be a help, and it's like you say things like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to them." And the reality is, sometimes there's nothing to say. There's just nothing to say. But you can be there, and being there says it all. Just be there. Just be there. It's the way God is. He says, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Maybe it is an answer. He's here with us in his words. But maybe it is an answer. Maybe it's something you need a direct answer about. Maybe there's not an answer. Maybe it's just understanding that God is present in the circumstance. Maybe it's understanding, you know what, I'm messed up here, or I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make some bad decisions. I'm going to fail. But that's not the end. He's with you. He's there to help, to comfort, to provide peace, to provide joy. His presence is a comforting presence. He said he's going to send the comforter, and the comforter is his presence. In right now, so right now, you've got God present in spirit in the form of the comforter. I thought that's interesting. You know, the Lord calls the Holy Spirit of God the comforter, and it's surely what an appropriate word for the presence of God. Comforter. And he must have known, I know he knew and knows what his children, what his people would be facing. So he didn't send them a banker. He didn't send us a financier. He sends you a comforter. That's his presence. He's with his people. And that's the difference. You know, if you're, maybe you're here. I think most of you here are saved, but I don't want to assume too much. Maybe you're watching, and you feel so lonely. You get in spots, and I don't have anyone to turn to. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's true you don't. Maybe all your gods aren't working out. And you keep crying out and there's no answer because you're not going to get an answer. Because what you're talking to doesn't have ears. Doesn't have a mouth. It doesn't have a brain. It can't process what you're saying. Maybe it's time to reevaluate the God of the Bible in your life. You say, I've heard the Bible. I've gone to church a few times or whatever it is you say. The God of the Bible is the God who is present. He is present with his people. You know one thing, I'll end it with this. When thinking back to Josh's sermon, the name God gave Moses to tell the people, he says, what will I tell them? I mean, how am I supposed to convince these people that I'm speaking for you? And he gives them his name. He says, tell them I am sent you. I am. What is that? That just says it all. Where's God? I am. I am. And then Jesus Christ says it in the New Testament. I love it. When those Pharisees, they come to him and he's talking about Abraham. And they say, you're not even 50 years old. What do you know about Abraham? And Jesus Christ says, look, before Abraham was, I am. The God who is present with his people, through trials, through good times. And look, if you're saved, you understand this life is short. You only got a little window of time here. You only got a window of time here to serve the Lord. But you know what that window of time says? It says, look, there's an end to this. There's an end to it this way. And someday, I'll get rid of this old body. And I'll have a new body. And it'll be sinless. It'll be like Jesus Christ. And I won't face the temptations. I won't have the trouble. I won't face any of the afflictions that I faced in this body. And going through life with that hope, man, you can face anything with that. You know it comes to an end, and you know once it ends, it just gets better. It's what a blessing. God is a comforting presence. Jesus Christ is a comforting presence. His presence is a comfort. And he says over and over to his people, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm not leaving you, I'm not leaving you, I'm not leaving you. Oh, but I messed up. Yeah, you messed up. And you're going to mess up again. And you know what his answer is? I'm with you. I'm still here. I've dealt with a lot of people who have messed up. What a blessing. A God who is present. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being available, being present with your people. What a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for them giving of their time to be here. And for those that are watching, I pray it's been a blessing. And just thank you so much for the blessings that you have bestowed and the benefits. It's like Craig said the other day, the benefits that you load us with. Thank you so much. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.